Good morning. So, excuse me. I'm going to go through. I invite you right now to all take out your gap reports, because in the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to go through 40 pages. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of charts. And so it's probably going to be a lot easier if you have this in front of you, that you can look at these charts. So we're going to start on page 9 with this chart. Excuse me. Actually, page 7. So what we wanted to do this year is we wanted to look at food demand in more details, and we wanted to look at productivity. If we continued this, the productivity growth from the last decade, and projected it by region, what does it look like at a regional level? So let's first start with food demand. Food demand is going to come from both population growth and increases in income, and that's the blue and the green lines that you see on the chart. And so you can see that demand growth is clearly not equal, and resource distribution also is not equal. So in some of these areas where demand growth is the largest, they also may not have the most resources to expand production. So there's opportunities everywhere to increase productivity and improve productivity, and everybody needs to, from every region of the world, all throughout the entire agriculture value chain, to meet this demand. And the strategies will be different. So what we did this year through the GAP report, and we're going to go through more focused in the developing countries, is look at each developing country, look at what the food demand is, what has been the projected TFP, or the TFP of the past, and project that forward to see what are some strategies that each region will need to employ by 2030. So let's look at East Asia first. The estimated food demand growth is 3.6% from 2000 to 2030. So this is additional growth. Most of that additional growth is going to come from this growing of the middle class, the increasing income. That's where the primary driver of the growth is going to come from. More people are going to want to eat more animal-based proteins. And so you can see this green line, that top line, that's the food demand graph. The TFP from the last decade was 3.1%. And that is a very aggressive TFP growth, let me just first say. But even if you extend that out to 2030, you can see that this region is likely going to have to rely on imports to meet their food demand. They don't necessarily have a lot of additional resources that can be brought in production. There's some water scarcity issues. And even with this aggressive 3.1 TFP growth, there's still a demand. This is about, I mean, we calculated about 74%, I believe, of the productivity can be met if the TFP is extended. So trade is going to be extremely important strategy. South and Southeast Asia is much the same story. Estimated food demand growth is a little less. A lot of this income growth is driving the food demand growth. And the TFP growth has been a little less, but 2.5. Once again, that's a very aggressive aggregate growth rate. So same thing. We extended that out to 2030. And, you know, they'll also have to rely on imports to kind of help fill that demand. So it's important, you know, one statistic that we mentioned in the GAP report, and we have, it's pretty dense with several statistics from all the regions, but we talk about, you know, water, and nearly, in this area, or in Asia, nearly 70% of the world's land is under irrigation is in Asia, and it's likely to become more water-stressed. I mean, there's several studies I've heard, you know, go from 20% water-stress to 40 to 45%, but likely they're going to need new technologies to continue to improve water use efficiency. That's going to be very important. So if we flip to the Middle East and North Africa, once again, food demand may be a little less, 2.1%, but TFP growth per year is 1.9%. So if that's extended out, if the investments are continued to be made, once again, we'll see a little bit of a gap. Nearly half of the food in this region is imported today. And so, you know, they're going to need a combination of productivity improvements, imports, maybe safety net programs to kind of fill this gap. Water scarcity is a big issue. I believe that the water available per capita in this region is 1/6 of the global average. So, you know, new technologies like the micro-irrigation are extremely important, and other water use efficiency technologies. In sub-Saharan Africa, most of the growth in the past couple decades has really been through expansion of resources and land, and not necessarily total factor productivity. So in this region, most of the demand growth is going to come from that increasing population. And so you can see estimated food demand per year, is growth rate is 2.8%. The TFP from the last decade has only been 0.5%. So if you extend those numbers out, I believe that the TFP was only about meeting about 13% of the demand at that rate. And so there needs to be a considerable more adoption of technologies that are available, new technologies that are suitable for this region's productivity needs to be a very key and important strategy for the region to meet this demand. And finally, the last developing region that I'm going to talk about today is really the Latin American and Caribbean region. And so the estimated food demand is a little less than the other regions, and that's the green line. So this one, the line is underneath, if you can tell green from black. And the TFP growth rate has been 2.7% on aggregate. So once again, you know, to maintain that, it's going to require a significant amount of investment. But if they continue to invest in policies that promote productivity and continue to invest in infrastructure, they really have an opportunity, like much of the developed countries, and what we also mentioned in the report, to supply more food, to be a bigger exporter to kind of help meet this demand. And it'll create the environment that's conducive for growth. And finally, so in the report, in the second part of the report, we talked about five different policy areas that really improve or foster productivity growth. And so I'm just going to highlight a few of those, and I invite you once again to look through the report in more detail after this. So the first one is investments. Really, investments will determine the environment to which technologies will be available and for this productivity growth. And when we talk about investments, we included the public sector. They have a role. The private sector, and then the farmers. So the public sector investments are like infrastructure, soft infrastructure, hard infrastructure, roads, bridges, things like that are necessary. Development assistance from the public sector can help create the environment where more private sector is investing. And we talk about private sector. We've separated private sector from companies that provide the input so they can farm and companies that help move the commodities and process the commodities. That sort of private sector investment, but also, the farmer's private sector. And so there's a large amount of on-farm capital investment that needs to continue to incur so that they have the right technologies and the land is prepped and such that they can continue to improve their productivity. So in 2 years ago, GHI released a report that said the investment gap is about $90 billion. In the report, we updated those numbers a bit. And we say investments are increasing, but there's still a significant gap, nearly $80 billion of investment that needs to happen to kind of improve this productivity. Keith talked a lot about agriculture R&D, and it's an important predictor, maybe the most important predictor for TFP growth. And so more investment is needed. One statistic that we chose to show here in the report is really the percent of R&D research, research and development, as a percent of ag GDP. And the target is about 1%. And you can see most of the developing countries fall below that line. Now, when you aggregate it, there's obviously countries, and some even in sub-Saharan Africa, that are above that 1% line. But in general, our point is that these, you know, the TFP growth that we see today is a result of investments that happened in the past. You need to continue to keep this investment in R&D high for new technologies and an adoption of new technologies. And you can see all the way onto the right-hand side is the higher-income countries, and they're at much higher, about 3% of the R&D spending. Another point we talk about is science-based technologies and the need for science-based technologies. We talked about many different tools in the report, and I invite you to look at them. And it's important that they're available and adopted for folks. So we need a rule-based and a predictable regulatory system. So people that want to use the technologies are able to use the tools that are appropriate. One technology, more recent technology is no-till. We just kind of showed how that in the report, amongst others, has grown. And there's still more room for growth, and that helps with conservation, helps with productivity, and it's a tool that's useful. And finally, trade. We talked about a lot of the regions are going to have to rely on imports. And so trade strategies are going to be very important. We show a graph of net exports is on the top, net imports are on the bottom. And you can see that they've been growing over time. So on the top is Oceania and the Americas, or their net exports for agriculture are growing. And the net imports for Africa, Asia, and Europe on the bottom are also growing. It's estimated that agricultural trade will grow to $1 trillion by 2020. And so further trade liberalization can help expand market access, improve efficiency, and really increase investment. That's going to be a very important strategy. So in summary, the key strategies for meeting the demand is really productivity needs to continue to increase in every major part of the world throughout the entire value chain. We need to close the investment gap so that we have the sufficient infrastructure in place. We need to increase R&D spending to generate the needed science-based and information-based technologies and have a system so that they can be adopted, and remove barriers to global and regional trade.